cute just for the sake of being cute, please.
Sleep.
Mainland or an islander, we party just the same.
Ohatmu or Not covers the official handbook of the Marvel Universe Deluxe Edition, an encyclopedia series published from 1985 to 1988 by Marvel Comics. And we cover it with several panelists with little to no knowledge of the Marvel Universe, giving their first impressions of each character, its look, concept, and story. Warning, listener discretion is advised. Ohatmu or Not is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. This is your host, Siskoid, and with me today are...
Amélie,
Isabelle,
Natalie,
Elise,
José,
Shotgun.
Manslaughter
to Marina. Manslaughter.
Yeesh.
Assassin by trade and psychotic by nature, Manslaughter had latent psychic abilities that allowed him to track down the Eternal known as the Interloper. You might remember this bear of a man because Elise was quite taken with him.
Yes, that's your husband.
And the Interloper helped him develop his powers, but not much. As soon as he realized Manslaughter was unstable, he sent him away. But he did teach him to seem invisible to peripheral vision and subliminally inaudible. So he became very good at sneaking around. As an assassin, he prefers swords and throwing stars. He went up against the defenders and eventually joined them for a crucial mission where his skills were needed, but he ended up turned to stone. As far as I know, he's still a statue. He loves to set traps and show his tactical superiority before killing his targets. But even though he agreed to work with the heroes that time, make no mistake, he's a psycho and unlikely to reform. He's also pictured sword fighting Valkyrie.
What else can I look for in a man? Oh, I'm taken aback.
Joke. His fashion sense is, I mean... This dude knows what he wants, and it's fucking around with people.
Okay. So, it's like he's trying to, with the suit, it's all very, like, svelte and, like, compact, and then the accessories are the most, like, buoyant things.
Yeah, he looked like he looks like he went to Hot Topic and found a really good sale.
It's kind of like when you have a race car that has, like, way too many spoilers piled up, and it's just like, okay, well, now it's not aerodynamic anymore. Like, the bag sticks out, like, it's as wide as his hips, and those boots have not buckets, but, like, tubs on top of them.
Does he have, like, a pet or something? Because that looks like a pet carrier.
Mm. I find it looks like a recording camera bag from the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Also, yeah.
And what's up with the, like, star red ribbon situation?
It's a pasty. That is a pasty.
Okay, now that you've said that, I have no doubts. This guy went to a party, got drunk, there were a few costumes that were exchanged, and this is how he came out in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
He went in, like, a blue morph suit.
Yep.
And left with a bit of everyone.
It's a, like, accessory exchange party, but he got all the terrible ones.
Even, like, what is that mask at his neck? And the mask, like, what?
Too much.
I love the uselessness of this mask, though. Like, come on.
It's really Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, but terribly made.
Mm-hmm. Like, is it solid or is it floppy?
I think it's floppy because it's tied in the back. It's just like strings. It just looks like a bandana that he cut a hole in for his one eye that he was going to put it over.
Or a triangle bikini.
Oh, dear God.
He looks a little bit like Tom Hiddleston when he has red hair.
No, right? Don't be mean.
I hate to say it, but honestly, I even Googled it just to be sure I wasn't wrong.
No, I was going to say it, and I knew José would hate me, and I hate myself for thinking it. But yeah, this guy is Tom Hiddleston.
It's really weird. Oh, yeah. No, for real. Like, it's the smile, especially because he has such, like, a big smile. But honestly, it does look like him.
I am in denial. No.
Because that's Tom Hiddleston's real hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I like the curls. I like a good curl. I can't get over that name.
Yeah.
No, it's fuck.
That is a ridiculous. Laughter. Yeah, man's laughter.
That's much
that's
better.
That's also what I read.
No, like, no, that's manslaughter. It's manslaughter. It's
why would manslaughter. You choose that? Like, why?
Psychotic. He has criminal and psychiatric records.
But because he's a guy, I feel like you almost have, you can't just say manslaughter. You have to say manslaughter. I feel like there's a pause there. You have to highlight that he's the man part of that.
Manslaughter is usually like unpremeditated murder, right? Or like accidental
but he's
murder. An assassin.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, so that's confusing.
You'd think I'd be into the name because I really like true crime, but I don't.
No.
Well, it's weird to claim a word like that.
Yeah, it's not.
It's like if your nickname was like murder. That's just weird and awkward.
Yeah. Unless you're a bunch of crows.
Yeah.
Totally. What about the different body type here? Because this is a smaller character than usual. He's 5'7", only 115 pounds for a man.
He is not 115 pounds unless that's a suit with padding.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Muscles are heavy.
But 5'7 is fine. That's basically my height. I'm like, that's all right.
I can't complain. That's basically the height of my boyfriend. And yeah. Yeah, I'm attracted to taller men normally, but
He doesn't look short, I don't think.
He has a short torso, I feel. Seems to have longer legs, but his torso is not too...
Yeah, like, his torso is not ridiculously short, but he does have long legs, so he doesn't look short.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, he does look kind of... There's something sort of vaguely sprightly about it, and maybe that's the suggestion of shortness? A puck kind of character.
Mm. How old is he supposed to be?
It's one of those questions.
He looks like he's 20.
He looks like late teens, early 20s. And he has that smile that makes me want to hit people because they haven't been hurt by life yet.
Well, maybe if you keep him in your peripheral vision.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about these powers. Like, if you can sort of not see him in the corner of your eye.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like that is scary. I agree that that's scary. But also, you could just look at him and see him.
He's like a Doctor Who monster or something.
Corner of your eye.
What is it?
Don't try to see it. If you know you've seen it, it will kill you.
What if he's always in your, like, in your...
Following you when you're walking on the side of the street and you can't actually see him. You just feel like there's someone there, but you can't see him.
No, I don't like that.
But it's yeah, just like, not a fan of that.
If you're going to attack someone, can you, like, peripherally attack someone?
No. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and if you, like, jump out last second, then, you know, you take them by surprise.
Because he's hard to hear and see telepathically. He like, blocks your senses. So he's great at creeping up behind you, and obviously he can attack someone from the back. Like, I think Valkyrie's doing well here in the picture because she's going at him face to face.
I wonder what he smells like. Does he interfere with that sense, too? Is he one of those dudes that has very strong cologne and you know he's entered a room?
He's blocking all the senses, I'm thinking.
Well, what kind of fragrance would he wear, though?
A very invasive one.
Like Axe body spray?
I mean, I wasn't going to say it, but yeah.
Not a sponsor, clearly.
He home invades your nose with his scent.
Ugh.
Is he snapping his fingers or is something happening between his... fingers.
He's got the jazz hand.
Is he about to do like a West
dance
Side
routine.
Story fight?
Oh my god, he would. I feel he would be one of them.
A jet or a shark?
Which is
a
which shark. Again?
The jets no, are the white boys.
Yeah. I don't think there are many red-headed Puerto Ricans. There may be.
If you are one, comment down below.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know any personally. I'm sure it's not impossible.
You know what I weirdly hate the most about the costume? It's the dangling pieces from the belt.
It looks
how
like a polo tie.
That'd be?
That would get stuck in like your between your thigh and your like.
Oh yeah.
Pelvis. And if it's not stuck, it would tickle your inner thighs. Like why?
It's like a crotch bolo tie.
I hate it.
Well, let me ask: is manslaughter hot or not?
I don't hate him.
Oh no!
I think it's an obvious major dislike.
It's a no for me, Doug.
You know, I don't hate him that much. I am on Team Elise over here.
I hate everything about his powers and what he represents, but physically, I can't help it because he reminds me of Tom.
I don't see it.
Yeah, really.
It's incredible, Jose. I can't believe you can't see it.
I don't know. I guess I don't really like him. But I also, I have not liked people a lot more than this guy, you know? I'm just...
he's a neutral?
Yeah, I feel kind of neutral, but I really hate the half-mask thing.
I love the chaos. I love, this is what I'm going for, and I don't care. For some reason, I love that. It's the asymmetry. That's what I like. It's an asymmetrical mask.
How can your character be about like stealth and sneaky and stuff and just be covered in shit? Like just covered in bells and whistles and
well, that's what I was saying.
Ribbons. It's like, why? Why
it's like against the like this? Yeah, it's like against the point.
But he's psychotic chaos. I don't know, it just works for me.
This is I'm trying to look psychotic chaos. This is like, oh yeah, have you seen me? I'm psychotic chaos. You can tell because of my mask. Have you seen it?
Oh, frankly, I don't like those people brag about being weird.
Mm-hmm. I feel like psychotic chaos is a better name than manslaughter.
I'm pretty sure I prefer banana head fart man.
So, Man Thing.
Oh.
You might know the Swamp Thing better, but Marvel's version came out a couple months before. They have the same basic origin, but as the legend goes, the two writers were roommates and probably riffed on the same concept one night. Then they didn't know the other one was actually writing it. So Ted Salas is a scientist working on an antitoxin in a swamp-based lab. Terrorists rush in to steal his work. They set him on fire. He runs into the swamp after having injected himself with his formula to keep the bad guys from having it. And he's turned into a nearly mindless, speechless, vegetable creature that kind of remembers it used to be human, but only kind of, and drawn to strong emotions like fear and anger. The catchphrase is, whatever knows fear burns at the Man Thing's touch. Because to calm the emotions he's receiving, he's compelled to destroy the source with its acid touch. The creature is cursed to wander its swamp in the Florida Everglades and cannot leave it. In the middle of it is a nexus of all realities, which gives people from other dimensions access to our world, and he's become its unknowing guardian, making sure nothing bad comes out. He is shown burning someone, looking at a burning hand, with someone jumping into him and finding out he's really very fluid, and getting pointlessly shot by a guy with a rifle. Plus a map of the swamp. You'll see there have been a lot of plane and UFO crashes there. It's the meeting place of cults. There's an abandoned insane asylum, a cemetery, and the map shows Ted Salas's shack where he was working and where Howard the Duck also crossed over into our world. So it's really a weird place.
I am speechless.
I know you would hate him because to me, he looks like evil Snuffleupagus. And
like a trunk.
he has like real Muppet energy. So I was like, sure, this is gonna hate.
Oh, I hate it so bad. Things of nightmares.
I love him and I want to give him a hug and he looks
what is
fuzzy,
wrong with you?
Fuzzy and fun.
I'm also very in.
It's weird that he's like fluid though.
If you guys could see Jose's face!
That's so upsetting.
I feel like this is the embodiment of what you imagine is in the ocean when we go to the beach.
Oh, yeah!
I'm digging, like, the position he's in the main picture. Like, it's almost like he's in the middle of a dance move.
Yeah, he does look like if he's gonna beat Bob pretty cool. But no, they're not saving anything.
He just looks so mossy. I really like the mossiness.
No, he looks like he's decomposing.
But Jose, he kind of looks like a patch of grass. You could have picnics everywhere.
No,
I'm sure
why
he
would
smells.
You? No,
I'm sure he smells like the swamp. I don't want that near me at any time. Yeah, I'm sure he leaves a trail of like sludge as he walks.
I do have to point out like the picture with him like holding the hand. In a different situation, that just looks like an Instagram photo. like look at this flame. It's highlighting the high points of my face. Like I've taken photos with like a candle that look like this.
That's us with sparklers.
It wasn't a hand that you're touching with your acidy skin and slowly dissolving and you're like, I just caused death.
Well, I haven't done that yet.
Okay, as a concept, very cool, very fun. No thank you. I mean, this, I would not swipe right on this at all.
God, no.
I've kept very quiet up till now.
What's going on?
Because as someone who experience very strong emotions all the time. I just don't want him to notice me.
Yeah.
You would burn at the touch of the man thing?
Absolutely. So that's a
I think we'd all die. Like instantly.
What's the thing that makes you burn alive again? What's the emotion?
Fear.
Is it all emotion?
Fear, sadness.
Just fear?
Fear, but I think he's drawn to like just like in the stories he's often on the outskirts looking in. It's like there's something happening and that thing is going to be like horror-ish or it may be violent. And then he's drawn to that. And then eventually he comes out of the woods or whatever and he like burns the bad guy. It's that kind of thing.
Let's address this memory thing, the semi-sentient thing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean he sort of knows?
He has like a vague memory of being Ted Salas, so he recognizes his wife or something, or something that reminds him of his wife.
That's so sad.
But he doesn't know why he's drawn to that or what that means. The narration will be sort of in his head, and it'll say things like the creature doesn't know why it's doing that, but it has like a vague memory or whatever.
Now
but
I'm sad and disgusted.
Does he know he doesn't know?
I think you're asking too much of the semi-sentient being here. I mean, I in a way,
I'm wondering if I should be sad for him or not.
Oh, no, it's
just
sad.
Like blissfully ignorant. That's fine too.
It's tragic because it used to be a person.
Yeah,
but I mean, we all used to be people, and when we die,
I mean,
it becomes a unicorn.
This is outside the scope of the show, but it might have been interesting to compare Man Thing and Swamp Thing because Swamp Thing kept his mind. Sort of, kind of looks kind of like this, but kept his mind. So is it more or less tragic? And somehow the Swamp Thing is a romantic figure after becoming a monster, married a woman, had a baby, you know.
Had a baby?
Yeah. Like Swamp
is
Thing
also
has
also made of acid?
Neither of them are made of acid. They're made of swamp. They're both made of swamp. But Swamp Thing has a sex life and, you know, whereas Man Thing does not. Although what listeners are thinking about right now, this is a joke among, and I think you're not necessarily getting it because we don't use that term in French Canada, maybe not in Canada at all. I don't know, but I've never heard it except in comic book circles where fans of comics laugh at the fact that he's called Man Thing because that's another word for
penis.
Yes. And the magazine he was in was called Giant Sized Man Thing. So
I can appreciate that.
Yeah. So I'm throwing it out there because that I knew that wasn't going to be like a reflex on any of your parts.
It's kind of funny to have
parts.
Oh, Mike,
can we please mark the date? Because I think that this is the first time that Mike has said you're not talking about penises enough.
He's just said, hold on, the audience needs more penis.
Okay.
Of all the characters, this had to be.
But it is kind of funny that he's called Man Thing and there's this like long trunk-like thing in his face.
Yeah. Now I can't see anything but a flaccid penis.
I mean, same.
Yeah. Does it flop around when he walks? Not his penis. I mean, his face trunk.
I'm sure his penis does, too.
I don't know if he still has a penis.
We really can't see a sign of a bulge anywhere.
Would it be a mossy penis? Like, it's sort of like...
Oh, no! No!
Well, if his face is like roots, I think that's what they're... And you see there are roots elsewhere on his body. Anyway, make up your own image.
Oh, it says, his body is composed of pockets of algae, moss, and fibrous weeds held together by a network of animated, tough, and starchy roots.
Nice.
Which follow the basic structural pattern of human bone and muscle.
You know what? I feel like he could... Like, if I was lost, I feel like he could help me.
In the nexus of realities?
Yeah.
Oh, no! He gives off a strong, rotting smell. I'm sorry, I'm out.
I do feel like he has a kind soul behind that red eye. You know, I might be completely wrong about that, but like these pictures give me that impression. Like, I feel like the people that he's killing in these pictures are bad. And I feel like he would understand that I have good intentions.
it feels very Frankenstein-y to me. Well, Frankenstein's monster.
There is a movie.
Of the man thing?
Oh, yeah. Nobody burns at his touch. And I think it's like a more or less a direct-to-DVD kind of thing. Apparently it's terrible. I've never seen it. But there is a Man-Thing movie. The one thing that makes him interesting, maybe, like the catchphrase, is just not used in the movie.
I burn for him, Isabel.
So is the Man-Thing hot or not?
Yes. I don't know, but there's a buried treasure around in the swamp.
So. You can use the fact that the swamp is his backyard as...
I don't want to live on the Everglades. There's crocodiles and... alligators and flies. No.
How could there be both crocodiles and alligators?
I'm not sure which one is there, so I've named both.
And she put, and flies are just equivalent.
Of bugs.
I mean,
so I understand Man-Thing is not actually dateable, but concept, look, whatever, hot or not.
I like him. I think it's weird. But it's strangely endearing to me. I'm down.
I want to hold his hand and just walk around in the swamp.
I'm concerned for you guys.
While you slowly disintegrate.
I mean, like, I enjoy that he exists, but I would prefer that he not exist near me. Please and thank you.
Big no for me.
The swamp has sort of like a nucleus vibe. Strangely like a human cell kind of looking thing.
Oh, no, it looks like a boob with a nipple.
That also.
That was my first thought.
It's a little Rorschach test for everyone at home.
No, me, it's a big no. Muppets seems like underwater. Two of the things I fear, out.
Soggy Muppets is really...
is the name of my new band.
Soggy Muppets sounds like something someone Irish would say that's like slang.
Can you imagine if, like, I don't know because I don't watch the Muppets. Is there Muppets that live underwater, like fishes?
Yeah, there are fish Muppets, sure.
Really?
Well, they made Muppets for everything.
Yeah, they're not part of, like, the main cast, I don't think.
They're not on stage with Fozzie or anything.
There's, like, that Christmas.
Who's that?
Well, isn't Kermit Kermit's a frog. He'd be home in a swamp. Okay, I know Kermit. Right?
So that, yeah, that'd be...
He's in a swamp. They could hang out together.
Somebody needs to make fan art of Kermit the Frog hanging out with Man-Thing in a swamp. I need that, please. Thank you.
No. Anyway, final thoughts?
Ew.
Awful.
Nice.
That sums it up.
That's awful.
Mantis. Well, you would know Mantis from the MCU's Guardians of the Galaxy, Part 2. In the comics, she's human, half German, half Vietnamese, but educated by alien priests in a secret Kree temple somewhere in Indochina, as they knew she would someday become the Celestial Madonna, who would then be the mother of the Celestial Messiah. The father was to be a member of the plant-like Kotati race. While waiting for her destiny to arrive, she was allowed to live her life and wound up joining the Avengers after helping them with her empathic skills, fast healing powers, and martial arts based on pressure points, with which she could even stun someone like Thor. Eventually, fate caught up with her. She married what looked like a tree, but its essence possessed the then dead swordsman so they could mate. They both turned into energy and flew into space to have their child. The celestial Madonna version of Mantis can communicate with plants and even teleport through vegetation from one planet to another. She's a very sweet alien girl in the movies, but in the comics, she was haughty and cruel, tried to take Vision away from the Scarlet Witch, and was quite mean to the swordsman who loved her until he died, which taught her humility. As the Celestial Madonna, she is capable of love and sacrifice and is totally devoted to protecting the universe. She has a habit of referring to herself as this one instead of I. She's pictured fighting the Avengers, kicking an assassin in the face, glowing with power, and all in Kotati green with the swordsman.
Motion to write to the MCU and have that costume brought into the MCU. That's hot.
We're going to need a lot of tape.
Yeah. Double-sided tape sold out everywhere.
I like that the antenna sort of is mirrored in the dress, like the curve of the dress also, like, sort of, that's interesting. I like that.
Yeah, same.
How does it stay up that way?
Like, comic
you
need physics.
More than just horsehair. I mean, you said a lot of things that confused me, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
She's living a life that is intense.
That whole tree and then space.
She mated with the tree in space when they were energy.
The tree actually used the body of a guy that was dead.
I think it's too much. I think my brain has checked out.
It's like a very weird week to live.
So wait, hold on. When they became energy, he kept the body of the dude that was dead? Why didn't he become like a projected tree? Are trees too hard to draw? Is that it?
No, it's not.
Yeah, yeah. In the list of things that are hard to draw, like hands, trees, noses.
I'm not sure about the logic of the story, the metaphysics of the story. I think it was more of a question of the swordsman was in love with her, so the tree, as we call it, the Kotati, took his form to be more pleasing to her. And then they turn into energy anyway. So, it doesn't seem...
Also, trees don't have penises.
Yes, but once they're energy mixing and having kids, I'm not sure they needed the biological. So I'm not sure about the sequence of events necessarily. But this was in the trippy 70s of Marvel. Pseudo-mysticism happened.
People had sex with trees? Lovers?
I'm sure lovers. People did. I do have to say, it's kind of strange that, like, she's an empath, but she's kind of a mean person.
Yeah.
Like, that's an interesting contrast to me.
Yeah, I feel like they went in the right direction with that in the movies, because empath, this is just not the right attitude for it.
Yeah, like, how can you be, like, consistently mean to your tree husband? And be an empath. Like, that's, I feel like that's incoherent. I guess, unless she liked feeling that he was sad.
So she's a, like, masochistic, but through a, indirectly.
Well, yeah. It's like, maybe it could be just sadistic, because you force an emotion on someone, and then you get off on it.
Okay, that makes sense. It's awful, but it makes sense.
You know when you feel sad, and you want to watch a sad movie and cry? She just, like, kicks someone.
Yeah, but it's just easier to watch a movie.
Is it, though? It's time-consuming compared to kicking someone.
Okay.
True.
My suggestion, I've lived it this week, listen to sad songs and punch the car seat next to you while screaming.
While screaming?
I was pissed.
Well, and if she was there, sitting in the back seat, she would be loving this.
Yeah.
She should just, like, surround herself with teenagers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Man, that's true.
Such a good idea. A couple saplings to be teenagers around her.
In her arc, once the swordman was dead, she learned humility, so I think she became a better person from then on.
Good for her.
I mean, sure, but that took a lot to get there.
Yeah. Somebody had to be fridged.
I like that she has a lot of hips.
I like her legs. They feel more realistic than other superhero legs.
Yeah, besides like her boobs defying gravity, it is pretty accurate to like a normal human person, which is nice.
But even then, like her boobs aren't proportionate to her hips. Like they're not full hourglass.
Yeah.
And I like that. Like it's rare to have full hourglass.
I think her feet looks good. We get barely bare feet ever. I'm assuming it's hard to draw.
Yeah, along with trees.
Yeah. They really like brought out everything. Trees.
That combo is terrible.
Feet. But I feel like her feet look good too.
They look real, but good.
Her hair is amazing.
Yeah, it's a little bit like a beehive kind of situation in the back. It's really nice.
She reminds me of the vampire lady. Amelie, thank you.
Elvira.
What are those antennas? Like, is it hair too?
I like to think it's real antennas because mantis do have antennas and the shoulders are mimicking like her hands, like the hands of the mantis, of like the green traditional mantis that we know.
Is she like a praying mantis and that's why her husband died?
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Apparently that's a myth perpetuated by science. Praying mantis is just, praying mantises just want to eat after they mate, right? Which is a completely normal emotion.
Yeah.
But when they're being observed by scientists in a controlled situation, the only thing there to eat is the dude she just mated with. In the wild, they very rarely eat their mates.
I'm not sure I'm comfortable with us publishing a podcast that has something like myth perpetuated by scientists said in it.
Okay, then I will call it a misunderstanding.
Okay.
Due to
an error caused by controlled testing.
There you go.
Let's just blame it on like sexist people that are being anti-feminist against the praying mantis.
Probably.
I'm not gonna lie, I find it's kind of weird that someone dies and then you like, oh, but I loved him. No, honey, that's grief. You're grieving. That's grief. Give yourself a bit of time and maybe, just maybe, then okay. But it feels kind of wrong to me that you have this realization after the person dies.
But what if they wake up again and they're a tree? And the father of the Messiah.
I mean, bow chicken wow wow.
I gotta say though, like, you know, I have to die eventually. And
Do you? It's on your to-do list.
I mean,
it's not on mine.
It's inevitable, right? But like, becoming a tree, like that sounds nice.
But what if the tree becomes you?
Oh, that's confusing.
I don't know about being a conscious tree, though. Not a lot going on.
Well, I feel like your spirit is there.
I guess your leaves change, and that's a little bit like dyeing your hair.
But then you become bald.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the Kotati were mobile, though. They're like tree-like aliens.
The Lord of the Ring trees.
Yes.
Yeah.
Aww.
Oh, I can get behind that. So wait, did you say that it's not real antenna?
I'm not sure. I've never quite understood what was going on there. Like they don't.
She was an insect.
In the movie, she's an insect alien. In the comics, she was human. And there's no indication aliens trained her to have her psychic abilities, but was she born with antenna? It doesn't even say.
Well, you can't tell me she's putting a headband every day for that. It must be antennas.
You commit to the bit.
They're cute, though.
There's just no way that you become a blob of energy and you still project antenna.
Unless that was your true form, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because she changed her outfit. She changed her hair a little bit. If she didn't care about the antenna, why are they there?
Is Mantis hot or not?
Hot. Hottie hot.
I also think she's hot. She's a little bit of a mean girl, but she's hot as well.
I'm unmoved. Sorry, Mantis. You confuse me more than you arouse me.
I think I'm a not. She's a bitch.
Oh, well, you should cosplay her, though.
I should.
It's not like an automatic hot for me, but I would still say hot. I'm just frankly a little bit intimidated.
Yeah, it might be that she makes me uncomfortable. Like I would not want to spend time with her.
I mean, she does have the power to like poke you at a specific place and you're like knocked out. So that's a bit dangerous in the hands of this kind of person.
Yeah, she's definitely intense. Does she look good? Hell yeah.
I love the hair and the antenna, though. It's a good look.
Apparently, it's just strands of hair.
Is that what it says?
Shotgun, shush. No. Don't ruin this.
I've been doing research while we talked.
I did.
No, stop having information, okay? We don't need information.
Honestly, I'm separating her a lot from her personality to just be like, she is a very attractive lady. Personality, questionable.
Yeah, I prefer the version from the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, me too.
I don't understand the magic around her, though, in the top panel. It's very...
Swarms of bees?
Is it like a leopard print power? Like, what is...
leopard print power?
No, those are Kirby dots. That's Kirby Crackle.
It's just summoning.
It just, no, in comic books, that means energy. So you're just like little black spots in sort of a blob that's just energy, crackling with energy. But the movie one's all right. Is that what I'm hearing? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I checked it. She's cute.
She's maybe a little too passive. Actually, in the movie, people treat her really not nicely.
Yeah, she's really naive.
In the comics, she's the one that's mean. But I feel like in the movie, everyone's sort of like just low-level mean to her all the time.
But she has great one-liners.
And real antenna.
And real antenna.
You feel love. Romantic. Sexual love.
No, I don't.
For her.
No, that is not...
She just told everyone your deepest, darkest secret!
Dude, come on! I think you're overreacting a little bit.
You must be so embarrassed! Do me!
Oh, dear.
Oh, good lord.
Marina.
Marina?
No, Marina would be just one R, wouldn't it?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, I think so.
Yeah, I called her Marina all my life, but then I found out it was Marina, probably. So I'm now saying Marina. Marina is the only member of Alpha Flight from the Atlantic provinces. Marina is really an alien of the Plodex race who came to Newfoundland as an egg.
Newfoundland?
Yep. Woo. She was found by a fisherman family and raised as their own. The Plodex are really an invasive race, and they develop into whatever creature the embryo first encounters. So while Marina was raised as a human, she has a bestial nature that can be induced by proximity to other Plodex. Having gotten that under control, she married Namor the Submariner and was Queen of Atlantis for a while. But you never know when a writer will think it's a good idea to turn her into a monster again. So obviously, she's amphibious and a fast swimmer. Her webbed hands excrete an oil from their palms that can be used to temporarily blind a person. They turn into claws when the Plodex warrior inside is unleashed. At this point in her history, she's sweet. She's a gentle girl who really doesn't want to turn into a monster. These days, they've integrated her dark side a bit more, and she's kind of this sassy rock chick who would rather be at a concert than having to fight supervillains. She's pictured swimming, fighting Puck, fighting Namor, diving at the center of sonar echoes as a hatchling with the fancier bathing suit with the sleeves, and turning into a monster.
I love her.
I love her so much.
There are no other superheroes from the Atlantic provinces. This is it.
We would get like a sea person. Oh, that makes sense.
No, could be like a lumberjack, a potato from PI. Like, who knows?
A potato. I feel like that would be like super pets. Someone has a potato.
Those eyes are horrifying.
She kind of looks like that Tim Burton movie.
Big Shoreline?
Eyes? Yeah, big eyes.
But also, those are the eyes on the movie Mantis.
Yes,
right.
Oh, yeah.
But they look creepier in drawing somehow.
I'm fine with huge eyes. That's cool.
It's no, but it's not just that they're huge. It's their bulbousness.
Yeah, I'm fine with that too.
They're not like human eye shaped.
The webbed hands and the claws.
I think
and
she
the
should.
Blindness.
I think she should do like pinup photo shoots.
Oh, yes.
What?
I'd be down for that.
I think I'd be cool as hell.
I'm with Jose on this one. And I like the sea, and I like mermaids, and I like water, but
No, I'm very unsettled.
Yeah, me too.
No, okay. But just now, look at her again and imagine that she has a Newfoundland accent.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
She's suddenly like 110% more friendly.
Is she calling everyone dear?
I mean, I wish I could do an accent, but I can't do it. I'm not English enough from here to be able to do it.
It's truly one of the best Canadian accents, though.
Oh, yeah.
We
went to an Airbnb, and the woman who came to clean it was from Newfoundland.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Oh,
she was wonderful. My neighbor in the back is from Newfoundland.
Well, I beat you all. I get at least 20 calls a day from people from Newfoundland. That's right. And guess what? They are the most polite.
I would believe it.
Not surprised. Who are the least polite? The States.
Oh, shit.
Call out of the day to all the listeners.
I have to say, I like her hair. It's kind of like let's be honest, it's not far from my hair, but...
Your hair is way cuter. Don't say that.
She has better hair than me.
No, look at her bangs. It looks like straw.
That's what my bangs would look like if I did bangs. I think it's kind of cool to see her with like short hair. I feel like a lot of female characters have like super long hair. We don't see a lot of short hair, like sometimes, but it's kind of refreshing to me.
The haircut is better in all the other panels. I don't know what John Byrne was doing there with
it,
like
it looks like straw, like if she's been in the pool for a bit too long and chlorine's like eating it.
But yeah, she's got that pixie cut.
She's got that classic chlorine green. I used to have that.
Yeah. I wonder if she hangs out with the puffins.
Aww.
I love puffins.
Ew. Yeah.
What's her necklace? Is it like a seashells just because it has to be, or
it has like Little Mermaid vibes for sure.
Yeah. Okay, I gotta say though, that middle panel when she's fighting with Namor, like that's hot though.
The legs.
Oh, yes.
Yes. The muscles is very like swimmer muscles. I'm liking that. But everything else is terrible.
Are they fighting or is that, you know, foreplay?
Fighting. What's the difference?
It was both. I think it was both.
I don't like her bathing suit.
I like both, actually.
The regal one, yeah.
I like the sleeves.
Like the sleeve, that's not like very practical to swim in, but it's cool.
It looks fantastic.
I'm sure it looks terrible on land.
Yes. Terrible tan line, too.
You want to take some good underwater photos with that.
The panel where her face has changed is pretty horrifying, though. I will say that.
She looks like a jack-o'-lantern. It's horrifying. I hate it so much. To me, she looks like what you see in movies when they don't make the mermaids pretty. Like, they make them scary.
Yeah.
She has the similar face as the mermaids in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a scary mermaid.
Yeah. Like,
I'm not down.
She should have, like, pointy teeth.
And gills.
But I think the full transformation into a Plodex monster sometimes, I mean, they can go wild. They can look like a giant snake or whatever. So, like, it's a complete transformation. We don't see it here, but as a Plodex, she can be, like, gigantic.
Does Namor ever call her Marinara as, like, a loving nickname?
Because I've been calling her Marinara in my head since the beginning.
I like that it's close to marine, like marine life.
I think that was the point, yeah.
I know, but I don't know. They could have called her Aqua.
Does she sing? I feel like that's sort of a cliche that she should be able to sing. I'm kind of hoping she doesn't.
I don't know.
She sings, but only jigs and reels.
Sing us a sea shanty.
Like a Newfoundland song or a sea shanty? Because it's not necessarily the same. But I'm not going to do that. But I know them.
No, but we want Baird's Privateers.
I love Baird's Privateers.
Oh, the year was 1778. How I wish I was in Sherbrooke now. A letter of marque came from the king to the scummiest vessel I've ever seen. God damn them all.
I'm not singing sea shanties.
I was told we'd cruise the seas for American gold. We'd fire no guns, shed no tears.
I don't know if she sings, but that may be the reason they decided to give her like an interest in music in the most recent Alpha Flight series. Maybe.
Is she useful?
Like,
it was, you know, like, I hope no one asked that about me.
What is that for?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, that's problematic because underwater characters, nautical characters, have a tendency to be often portrayed as like the less useful members, even Aquaman, the least useful member of the Justice League, because, you know, if we're landlocked, if there's no ocean, then basically they can do nothing. So there's that sense, but Canada is bordered by three oceans. So I think Marina has a chance.
And you know, the Great Lakes in the middle.
The Great Lakes in the middle.
So bunch of water.
She's got a chance to shine, but she is like the junior member, like the youngest in the team, because a lot of her storylines was about turning into a monster. And that doesn't help her Q rating.
I don't think that we should, our value should be defined by our usefulness. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
I was more like, is she a valued member of the Alpha team?
You I mean, she's still in Alpha Flight today, so.
Okay, that was more my question. Okay.
Is Marina useful or not? I mean, hot or not?
I think she's hot. I know that you guys disagree, but like, I think it's cool as hell. I think she's interesting. And she's from Newfoundland. Like, that's fun. I mean, what's not to like here?
She was a queen also. So that's, wow. Plus, what did you say about listening to music and shit?
That she,
punk shows. Yeah.
Yeah, that she's kind of a punky kind of concert goer.
I just want her.
Come on.
I want to have like her to have like punk style jewelry, but it's all like seashells.
She needs more tattoos. That's my opinion, but I love her so much.
Oh, I wanted to wear black lipstick and have like a bunch of marine themed tattoos. That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. I want to be her.
I also think she's hot. I agree with Natalie. I think she's sweet and scary. And that's a thing that I like.
That's no surprise. She does sound fun, but I can't get behind the fish qualities of her. Just terrifying. But yay for Newfoundland. But the look is the things of nightmares for me as well.
Yeah, the hands get me. Like, ugh. Can you imagine having to shake hands? No. No, thanks.
They're acid hands, so you only have to do it once.
I'm not sure if it's my fear of dolls, but I just can't get over those eyes. I just can't.
They're really the eyes are really shape of water also.
Yeah, but I think it's fine on a creature, but she's like too human to have those eyes. Like if that were on something that looked less like a human, I think I'd be okay with those eyes. I'd probably find them kind of cute.
Okay, so imagine she was a fish. Does that help?
Because she is.
Yes.
No, like a real, like a like salmon.
If a she real was a fish.
Do the eyes work?
Yeah, that's fine. That's not creepy at all. It's just a fish.
Oh, we work all day, party all night. Have a drink or two till on all the lights. There's lots of local music. There's fun to be had. And if you ain't a newbie, well, sorry, that's too bad.
Art credits: Manslaughter by Brent Anderson. Man Thing by Brett Blevins, with His Swamp by David Lovers. Mantis by John Buscema. Marina by John Byrne.
The time is out of joint.
The time is out of joint.
The time is out of joint.
The year is 1994, or 1944, or maybe 2994. Time is under threat, and history is falling apart. Who will survive this crisis, and how will history be changed for those that do? Zero Hour Strikes takes you back to that DC Comics crossover and covers the entire story, issue by issue, tie-in by tie-in, as the DC Universe goes down to zero. Join Bass and Siskoid at fireandwaterpodcast.com or on iTunes, Zero Hour Strikes, a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. Remember Legion.
Female bag.
Clap, 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 clap. Imagine I was clapping.
So we're talking about episode number 70, Mandarin, Mandrel, Mandroid, Manhattan.
What an episode.
General comment from Mike Danis. He says, it's like that favorite comic that you get on a Wednesday and can't wait to read. You're becoming a national treasure, and I hope we can get a heritage minute about Uhatmu.
My God, if I get a heritage minute, I'll have made it in life.
I'll just quit at life.
Success.
So Mandarin, we got Mike W. from Saskatchewan, says, you're right, he was a real Mandarin or warlord or whatever in the early 20th century. I think it was later established that the rings kept him young, so that history still works. Chris Franklin says, I can appreciate the Mandarin twist, sounds like refreshing soda, in the MCU better now that they are giving us the real deal. But his rings are no longer finger rings. If there's not a pickle on one of those armbands, I'm walking out of the theater.
Hopefully he's walking out yelling about no pickles.
There's no way Chris is going to walk out of that movie. Brian Linton asks, which of his rings has the power to grant him his dignity back?
Oh,
none.
The sausage one.
The sausage.
Also commenting on his look, Jesse Roach, or is it Roche? Tell us in the next comments, Jesse.
Roche
says Mandarin has struggled, especially in animation, where he was a green-skinned elf in the 90s Iron Man cartoon. Jonathan Riddles has given Tony Stark's career as an industrialist and capitalist and the plethora of Iron Man villains from the Silver Age who were communists, Titanium Man, Crimson Dynamo, Wong Chu, etc. It surprises me that Iron Man's chief antagonist, the Mandarin, was not also a communist. As for his placement on the hot or not range, I just can't get behind this one. The Mandarin just seems like a mashup of too many concepts rolled into one. He's a jingoistic Fu Manchu pastiche. He uses mysticism to combat a tech-based hero. His weapons are of alien origin. He's also a martial artist. It's just too much, which might explain why I loved Sir Ben Kingsley's portrayal in Iron Man 3. As for Mandrill, our favorite, on the quest,
fan favorite Mandrill
said no one ever. On the question of which cover the Mandrill Daredevil fight over flames was, Chris Franklin was very quick to identify it as Daredevil number 112, August 1974. And the statue is sitting with a brazier in its lap, which there it is. So that explains that. That's where the fire comes from the crotch area.
Yes. Hot.
Kurt Onstad asks, so is it ever explained in the comics why Mandrill decided to use Doctor Strange's shirt and cloak, but not his pants, for his fashion template? Jonathan Riddle says here, nowhere else but in comics do you wind up with an ape man who uses his power to control women through a secondary sex characteristics to don a cape and command an army of Radio City Rockettes under a monolithic statue of himself. I have been a lifelong devoted comics reader and fan precisely for that level of wacky absurdity. However, Mandrill's powers remove consent, and nothing can be hot without consent.
A great
breach.
Captain Entropy brings the safari knowledge. Says baboons, as a category of apes, are scary and inordinately violent. My wife learned in anthropology labs that mandrills are the most unpleasant of the bunch. Marvel's Mandrill doesn't have much to do with the real thing, but he is similarly terrible. Unlike Dr. Doom, who must survive because you want to see him again, Mandrill is one of those characters you hope falls off a skyscraper and the hero just can't reach him in time on page 2.
And Pretty much.
And somebody else mentioned that he was killed by another villain, in fact. So,
And did that villain become a hero?
No.
Oh.
That villain is also dead and will show up much later.
But he will be celebrated when we know about
him. Yes. Grim Reaper is the name. He's the brother of a superhero.
Oh.
So is he going to be like Reaper?
No, he's in the Grim Book of the Dead.
Oh, under G.
You're right.
Under G. Mandroid, Kurt Onstad agrees they look janky. He says, makes sense because, as you mentioned, they were trying to use Tony Stark's tech, but without his permission. So like Ironmonger in the first Iron Man movie, they're going to have trouble getting things as sleek and compact as Tony does when designing the suit. And Brian Linton says, I can see it now. The next great MCU rom-com, WandaVision 2, Mandroid in Love. In an attempt to win the new Vision's heart, Wanda uses a Mandroid suit to trick him into thinking that she is a fellow android. Hilarity ensues.
Okay, I'd watch that.
About Manhattan, Chris Franklin says, finally, I can sleep at night knowing of the location of Clint Barton's former apartment. Thank you, Ohatmu. Brian Linton notes, According to the map, it looks like Cersei has both an Upper West Side apartment and a Soho loft. That's pretty impressive given property values in New York City.
Yeah.
Can't believe Cersei was such an important character to put on the map. Who else? Dr. Ange might be leaving Boston for this one. He says, at long last, I know where the coffee bean is. I hope Gwen Stacy meant it when she said she'd have coffee with me on Friday. If Gwen is in the district, Manhattan is hot. Nobody tell him she died in the comics.
Everything is fine.
She's fine. Mike W. mentions that there is a two-issue Marvel Atlas, but I think it deals more with countries, mostly fake but some real, than cities. There is a Marvel Comics Guide to New York City written by Peter Sanderson, so that might have more detail about the various locations in the Manhattan entry. Interested? Seek those out. Miscellaneous comment. We'll end where we started with Mike Danis, who references our feedback talk about having the world's highest tides. He says, tides challenge, it's on. Did you know Vancouver Island has the largest waterfall in Canada? The Della Falls is 440 meters tall, 8 times the height of the Niagara Falls. This is okay. I didn't know that either until I Googled something that British Columbia had over New Brunswick. More than smug vegans talking about all the flowers we have in bloom.
Then, wait. He Googled, what does Vancouver have over New Brunswick? And all he could come up with was a waterfall?
I feel like that would be a long list.
Yeah. And we don't have any waterfall. I mean, if it's waterfalls you want to compare, we have nothing. We really have nothing.
Brooks.
Nothing.
We have Grand Falls.
We do have Grand Falls.
Hey, I have the Bay of Fundy. Not a waterfall, but water.
But yeah, well, the Bay of Fundy had the highest tides. That's where we win worldwide. You know, they're not winning worldwide waterfall.
With Grand Falls, no.
No, but not with the 440-meter tall Della Falls either.
We're the worst province. Let us
all. Let us have this one thing that we are also sharing with Nova Scotia.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Our cooler sibling.
Yeah, let us have water that goes up and then down once a day. Come on. Yeah.
Then he goes for a terrible pun. He says, Jose, you are my bae, and any time with you would be fun D.
Yay!
Immediately apologizes.
No, it's cute.
And says, I need to take some lessons from Dr. Ange, which would not help, my friend. Not help at all.
Oh.
Okay, before we go, we have to mention the Fire and Water Podcast Network Patreon page at patreon.com/FW Podcast. If you like our content, please think about making a one-time or monthly donation, the amount of which will allow you to unlock rewards like getting on the hot list. And get the girls to throw a custom compliment at you, and may God have mercy on your souls. We'll go around the table for this bit. Did you have a thematic?
I have a concept. I have a concept.
Oh, go ahead.
God.
Oh, God.
Okay. Well, what about like that swordsman turned into a tree, and then she liked them more.
What?
Or whatever. What if our patrons turned into plants? What would we like them to be?
Oh, okay.
Whoever's ready can have our good friend Monsieur Luc.
Okay. Mr. Luc is like a tiny cactus because he's succulent.
Oh my God.
Good one.
All right. Well,
whoever was the pun dude, he should take lessons from me.
Well, here is the pun dude. Mike Danis is next.
I think I have something. So Mike Dana's comments are suiting just like aloe vera.
Ah, that's
nice. Oh.
I love it when you can't finish the sentence.
Yes, exactly. I don't know what would it be, the stuff that's inside aloe vera.
Aloe vera is an ingredient. It is the thing that is inside something else. In any case, there was a miming to make us understand what it was.
So perfect for an auditory medium.
Absolutely. Perfect. Look at this.
All right. So next up, Eric.
That's Eric with CH, right?
Yes.
I'm going to give a not Clement.
Oh, no. <That's>
Eric, you spell your name like an orchid.
No. What? Okay, I mean, orchids are great. That's fine.
It's a good flower. It's a good flower. Next up, Gene Hendricks.
I'm going to say you're like a hosta because I'm betting you're very resilient because I have hostas that I did not plant and they have grown huge and I have not been watering them. Like they've just been doing their own thing and they're doing great. So I'm assuming that you're also very resilient.
We don't need to water Gene Hendricks.
It's a good leafy plant.
And finally, Gotham Shoren.
I'm going to go with what is currently bringing me joy, which is looking at my rhododendron on my deck. So just looking at your comments and hearing from you, Gotham, is like looking at my rhododendron.
Thanks a lot, guys. Say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Goodbye.
We love Bye-bye. You.
Leave us comments wherever you can find the podcast, whether the Fire and Water Network website, the Fire and Water Network Facebook page, or through Twitter. The hashtag is FWPodcasts, plural. We'd love to hear from you about, well, I guess these four characters and concepts, but on the show in general. Until next time, be hot, don't be not.
Sorry, are we doing room tone?
We were trying to do room tone.
I'm sorry.
You didn't say it. You must declare room tone.
Room tone.
I'm like physically
Gosh, you said I declare a room tone and my brain just went, well, I do declare this room tone.
Oh, we need to consent. Yes. I gave consent.
Yeah.
Consente.